Diggs has gone to the left. Beckham! Well, when you think he's done the impossible often enough this season, he does it again.
That's a lovely play from Cole. Scholes is bursting into the area. It's Van Nistelrooy, and Manchester United have come from three down and made it 3-3. It's Ruud van Nistelrooy's fourth goal in the Premiership. What a comeback!
Morgan Schaar again. Oh, super ball. Ryan Giggs for four!
It's getting better and better at White Hart Lane. The man who got the goal against Spurs earlier in the season has scored against them today to make it Spurs 0, United 4.
Rooney's after this. Can Rooney control it?
Rooney's through! Can he go all the way? What a goal! Wayne Rooney! He's unstoppable right now. 6 in 6 for Wayne Rooney. And is that 3 points for the champion? Spurs 1, United 3.
Welcome to Red Voices, the official Man United podcast. I'm MUTV's Mark Sullivan, and this week I'm joined by James Tuck, Mark Froggatt and Adam Bostock from the club website. Coming up in today's show, we reflect on United's dramatic encounter with the Canaries and hear from legend Peter Schmeichel, who pays tribute to Ryan Giggs.
Amazing. I mean, what can you say? He's an absolutely amazing bloke.
We turn our attention to internationals and analyse how the United stars performed for their countries. We look back on a dramatic night in the FA Youth Cup at Old Trafford.
Burns in the middle. Back for Wilson! Yes! In James Wilson, that may well send United through to the semi-finals.
We look ahead to the Reds clash with Harry Redknapp's Spurs, and finally we give our predictions ahead of that weekend's fixture.
United kick off 5 points behind City, so the stakes are high in Norfolk this afternoon.
Lovely pass again. Scholes is burst in the area looking for the cross from Nani. In it comes. Scholes is in there.
He started the move, he's finished the move. Paul Scholes makes it Norwich 0, United 1.
What a great start for United. Now, many times have we seen Paul Scholes popping up in the box, making the late run and getting in there. Not picked up, thank you very much.
Nani worked it well. Chicharito,
Welbeck!
Oh, what a save. What a save
great
from Ronnie.
Great football by United. Great football. Terrific save by the goalkeeper.
Jones again.
Patrice Evra on the other side of the pitch.
Oh, that's a dangerous ball. Giggs!
Well, I thought he was going to put his head on that. If he headers that, it's in the back of the net. I thought he was going to header that, Ryan Giggs. Oh,
straight to Wilbraham. Aaron Wilbraham goes for goal. What a save!
Well, no wonder Paul's holding his head in his arms, in his hands. Terrific save by the goalkeeper. Quite an attempt to line up the shot and hit it. Well done, goalie.
Back in by Drury. Whitbread stayed forward. On the turn, Holt!
It's been coming. There's the equaliser. Grant Holt. And with 7 minutes to go, it's Norwich 1, United 1.
Evra, Young. Needs a good ball in.
Giggs coming in. Who writes his script? On his 900th appearance, Ryan Giggs scores the winner for Manchester United. And what a winner in this title race. Norwich 1, United 2.
So what a story. United's title bid was dramatically put back on track by Ryan Giggs' late winner in stoppage time at Carrow Road. James, it was a fantastic way to win the game.
It certainly was, yeah. You know, United keep on doing it. They keep on finding these late winners, and what a fairy tale moment for Ryan Giggs to get that winner on his 900th appearance. I mean, he's done it so often in his career, and I mean, the 900th game was, you know, a milestone in itself, and then he goes and does that to top it off. It was incredible, really. And we seem to do this quite a lot in terms of, you know, the milestone games doing something significant. You know, the European Cup 50 years after Munich. I remember Paul Scholes scoring on his 500th appearance against
Liverpool. Yeah.
So, I mean, it was incredible. It's, you know, you can't write the script any better. But I just fancied it, even after Norwich kind of equalised. I just fancied, you know, this is going to wake us up and we're going to go all out. And I don't know. I just thought we'd get something, although we left it very, very late.
It was amazing to see Giggs still have the energy, the determination, the enthusiasm to get into the box at that late stage.
Yeah, I mean, as James said, I think
it was strange because we all saw it coming. I think we've been looking forward to his 900th game for quite a while. We thought it was going to be Ajax away. Didn't happen. We thought it'd be Ajax at home when he's on the bench. Didn't happen again. And obviously he came to Norwich and he kind of stole everything, stole the headlines. And he has got a habit of doing it. I mean, I remember a few years ago, he equaled Bobby Charlton's appearance record at Wigan, scored the goal, basically won us the league. The next game, obviously in Moscow, he broke the record and obviously stepped up for a penalty and stuck it away. So he seems to be forging quite a nice habit.
163 goals for him now, Adam. Very few will be as important as that one if we go on to win the title. He's scored many important goals, of course.
He has. That'll be sort of up there, certainly in one of the, perhaps his top 10 most important goals of all time. Of course, we'll never forget the goal at Villa Park in 99, and this was sort of similar in terms of its in terms of its timing, certainly, you know, the last knockings of the game. He's got a great record of actually scoring away from home. I was looking at the breakdown of his goals the other day for the website, and he's scored, I think, only six fewer goals away from Old Trafford than he has here at the Theatre of Dreams. So he's certainly no stranger to scoring those goals away from home when, you know, let's face it, the home crowd is on your back and you're going into the Lions' Den. And I think, really, there's few players you'd want more than Ryan Giggs in your team when you go away to a tight away ground like Norwich City.
I think you can tell the importance of it simply by his reaction. I mean, it was incredible. I've not seen him celebrate a goal like that for ages. He really, really was pumped and celebrated it like any fan. I'm just amazed by his drive and his commitment still. You know, it's such an old age. He's won everything, but he still wants to keep winning trophies. And I think it's that drive that makes him so successful, just like, you know, it's the same as Sir Alex. It's exactly the same.
That's exactly the point. He's won every trophy. I think he's won every kind of single award. You know, he scored the greatest goals and, you know, he's played the most games for United. So all he's actually playing for now is the love of the game and the desire to win more, you know, which is pretty incredible for a guy who's approaching 40 and he's been around for two decades.
It's his fitness as well, though. I mean, without that fitness, that incredible level of fitness that he's still got, he wouldn't be anywhere near as good as he is still. So, you know, real credit to him for that.
And he can go on for a lot longer, Adam.
I think he can. I mean, you know, the point is he played a full 90 minutes at Norwich. You know, he isn't playing sort of 10-minute cameos as a substitute. You know, if you remember when David Beckham was closing in on the caps record for England, it was largely through sort of bit parts as a sub. But no, Ryan is starting games because, as the guys here say, you know, he's fit enough to do so. So I think, 1,000 games would probably mean another three seasons, which, you know, that's quite a long time, an awful long time. But, on current form of fitness, it'd be foolish to bet against it, certainly.
Well, you mentioned Beckham and Giggs there, two United legends. Well, Stuart Gardner spoke to Peter Schmeichel at the Foundation Legends lunch, and Peter believes that Giggs can reach the next milestone.
Amazing. I mean, what can you say? He's an absolutely amazing bloke. He's a nice, nice person. He's kept himself well. He's identified along the way what will my problems be for the next sort of 6 months or 12 months, and he's dealt with that in advance. I remember when I played with him, he used to have terrible hamstring problems. Doesn't seem to have that anymore. I think he's dealt with that through yoga and other things. Clever, clever player. And I'm rooting for him to get to 1,000, and I think he can. He looks like he could do that. So. Let's get there. That would be amazing.
And of course, that win means United still 2 points behind City. What do you make of the title? 12 games to go now, only 2 points behind Manchester's big two.
Yeah, it's an amazing season. I don't think we've played as well as we probably expected we would this year. I think we've had so many problems. We've lost points that we probably did not expect to lose. The Blackburn game here, I think that was a game that, you know, no one could imagine that we would lose that. But having said that, the problems we've had, injuries, people coming in out of form, and a lot of injuries at the same time, a certain spell in the season, that we've managed to deal with that. The teams that Sir Alex has put out has dealt with adversity and challenges that I can't remember many teams in the past having had to do that. So I'm impressed, and you know, players are coming back now. I think we look strong, very, very strong. I know we have the experience, and for sure Sir Alex has been in this situation so many times. So with his guidance, we'll be there to the end.
So Schmeichel there mentioning the amount of injuries Sir Alex has had to contend with, and Mark, it's been unbelievable, hasn't it?
It's been crazy, and I don't think we've known anything like it for a long time. We've been going into games with up to 10 people, 10 first team players who are unavailable, which hasn't helped the cause, but we've got by, you know, and we've scraped out results. And it, when you look at the players who are missing, from the captain to strikers like Chicharito, and missing goalkeepers like Lindegaard, and defenders who've been missing, and Cleverley's been gone, I mean, it's outrageous. So the points we've gathered is quite a testament to how the team's been playing and how Sir Alex has managed.
You mentioned Vidic. I mean, I don't think his kind of absence should be underestimated. It really was a big loss, that, and we've coped with it extremely well. Like you say, we've had players out at various points of the season just when it looks like we're getting back on track, someone else gets injured, and we've never really, really had that fully fit squad. I mean, the more I think about it, if we win the league this season, it's right up there with Sir Alex's best ever achievements, I think, given the injuries we've had.
Absolutely. But we digress, because we were chatting about Norwich. Let's just sum things up there, Adam. Your thoughts on the overall performance?
Well, it wasn't the best. You know, I think the manager was right in saying that Norwich played very well. You know, during the game, throughout the game, Norwich perhaps didn't create enough chances to hurt us ultimately. But I think we're at the stage of the season now where ultimately it's about getting the result. I know it's a bit of a cliche, but really performances are less important now than results. And if you can grind out a win like that when you're not playing at your best, then, you know, we all know from past experience that bodes very well for the final months of the season. You know, I think some individuals did fare well. I think we'll come on to speak about David De Gea in a moment. I think he was our man of the match by a long chalk on manunited.com. And yeah, ordinarily it might be concerned if your goalkeeper's winning the man of the match, but ultimately we snatched it, and that was really all that mattered.
Great performance by De Gea, wasn't it? Because he's had his critics, but he's responding brilliantly in the last few weeks.
He is, and I'm pleased to see it, because I think the criticism of him has been a little bit far-fetched and a little bit harsh. You know, you've got to remember his age. He's not really coming... Well, he's not played in the Premier League, obviously, before this season. And he's reaping the benefits of a consistent running the team now, and I'm glad he is doing, because he was brilliant at Norwich, and he's been brilliant at other places this season. It's just the press tend to forget that and focus on a so-called clanger, because a so-called poor United goalkeeper is a big news story, so... It's a shame, but I'm glad he's doing well now.
We seem to be saying the same things about De Gea, like in this podcast, I think, every single week. We're just saying, you know, we think he's going to be a top keeper. And the more I watch him, the more I'm convinced he is going to be a great keeper. I think it was arguably his best game for us against Norwich. So, yeah, hopefully he can keep producing that, and then the critics will leave him alone and he can get on with it.
Yeah, well said. But bottom line, it was another crucial 3 points for United. We will not give up this title without a fight. Okay, let's start with England. And Adam, there was a fair representation from Manchester United in the England camp this week.
There was indeed, yeah. Three players started, Danny Welbeck, Ashley Young and Chris Smalling. And of course, Smalling had that awful injury in the second half, which then led to Phil Jones coming on. Interestingly, that Phil Jones went to right back and they moved Micah Richards inside to cover for Chris Smalling's absence. But I think they all got some valuable experience. Ultimately, the game didn't go England's way, and there was a little bit of regret, perhaps, that having fought back to draw 2-2, we let it slip. But it was a great goal for Arjen Robben to win the match for Holland. The biggest story, of course, is always, you know, our players, and are they fit for the weekend? And it would appear clearly that Chris Smalling won't make the Spurs game with that awful head injury. Hopefully, others will be fine. And on the whole, I think, you know, a positive experience bar that injury, really.
Yeah, well, I didn't watch the England game, actually, because I was watching a much more entertaining game here at Old Trafford, the FA Youth Cup. More on that in a minute. But just before we move on from England, what experience will be gathered from that? They came back from 2-0 down, brought it back to 2-2 with Ashley Young scoring, which would be great for his confidence, and then threw it away late on.
Well, Stuart Pearce kind of mentioned after the game the exercise was all about experience and finding out who his characters are for Euro 2012. I mean, obviously you like to win games, but the result wasn't everything. I think Danny Welbeck did a great shift. You know, he's running, as he has been for United this year, was outstanding. Ashley Young had a quietish game, but, you know, he delivered when he had to at the end.
Yeah, I've seen the goals, and his finish was excellent.
His lovely finish, yeah. And I think he did well, and it's a shame for Smalling, but Jones came on, set up the goal, and he looked quite lively. So I think it was a good performance all round, and hopefully all four of them will go to the European Championships.
And a good week for Ashley Young, of course, with that excellent ball he put in for Ryan's goal. We forgot to mention that when we were discussing the Norwich game earlier. It's that way, isn't it, with wingers sometimes? They do sort of float in and out of games, but they're judged ultimately on things like assists, and on this occasion with a well-taken goal, as Mark said. You know, so I think hopefully he'll really come to the fore now in the business end of the season. Not forgetting, of course, he scored away at Ajax for us as well. So perhaps we're starting to see some fruits from Ashley, and they will come very in handy, I'm sure.
Definitely, especially with Valencia being injured at the moment. Elsewhere in the international scene, James, Johnny Evans played for Northern Ireland, Nani represented Portugal, Hernandez away with Mexico. Results-wise, it didn't go too well for any of our players.
No, I think Evans lost and Inani drew, and Hernandez also lost. I'm very surprised to not see Hernandez score. He seems to score every time he puts on a shirt for Mexico, so that was a bit of a surprise. But, you know, I think, as Adam said, you can't read too much into that. They're just friendlies. The main thing is getting them back fit, and hopefully all of them except Smalling will come back fit.
Yeah, international friendlies are a bit of a burden on domestic managers, so I know Sir Alex, not a big fan of them.
Yeah, I mean, it's a shame. It does appear that every time England play, we come back with a bad injury, which obviously doesn't help matters. But what can you do? I mean, it does. At the same time, though, it does kind of give players good experience. Johnny Evans has got great experience with Northern Ireland. You know, he's got a ridiculous amount of caps, and he's still relatively young. Hernandez, the same. I mean, the travelling doesn't help, but...
He was playing in Miami, wasn't he?
Yeah.
So it's a fair journey.
He might have a tan, but he'll be okay.
Good stuff. OK, let's move on to speak about the next generation of potential international stars then. Manchester United beat Charlton 3-2 in an epic encounter in the FA Youth Cup sixth round here at Old Trafford. Great achievement, Adam.
It is, yeah. I think we spoke earlier before the podcast about the expectations of this current youth team, and they weren't that great, to be fair. I think they're a younger crop than last season. The team that won the competition last season, some of the players have gone on to play in the Football League since, you know, on loan. In the case of Ryan Turnercliffe, of course, Ravel Morrison's now at West Ham. So we're a different crop, some fresh faces, and they've done very well to get to the semi-finals. And, you know, great to play at Old Trafford, and great to finish, you know, in classic United style as well with the last gasp goal.
It was a really entertaining game yesterday. I watched it instead of the England game as well, and it was a really great game. I mean, beforehand you saw the kids sort of turning up in the coat off the coach with their suits on. It was just like the first team, and I think that really gives them a flavour of what it's like to play in the first team. And then going at most of them playing at Old Trafford for the first time, I thought they might have been a bit overawed, but they weren't. They went straight for it. You know, you thought the pitch would have been too big for them, but they only tired late on in the game. They played really well, you know, a couple of standout performances, and, you know, it's fantastic that they've got through. And, you know, as Adam said, it's it wasn't a great level of expectation on them, but they're through to the semis again, and no reason why they can't go and win it.
And we've got, you mentioned the semi-finals, we've got a great semi-final with Chelsea again. It's the repeat of last season. And I remember coming to Old Trafford last year for that game, and I think we had 10 to 15,000 fans in the North Stand, I think it was. You know, a great atmosphere, it's great for the young lads, and hopefully we can kind of repeat that and maybe get a bigger crowd and hopefully go on to the final.
Yeah, there's about 3,000 fans here for the quarter-final against Charlton. Like I say, hopefully we'll get a bigger crowd for the semi-final. Make sure you come to Old Trafford to support our future stars, because it's a fantastic thing to do, and it's really good football that they play as well. If you can't get here to the game, of course, you can watch the game live on MUTV. No date or kick-off time yet has been announced, but as soon as we know, we will let you know as well via the website or, of course, on MUTV. Now, Tottenham Hotspur host Manchester United at White Hart Lane this Sunday. It's a tough game, isn't it, James? Because Spurs are third in the league by right. They've played, Sir Alex says, the best football in the league this season. They've got a midfield, I think, to rival anyone in Europe. And they've got a man up front, Adebayor, who's just hitting form right now. So all the ingredients are there for a fantastic game. It's just thankful that Scott Parker will be suspended for it.
Yeah, I think he's going to be a bit of a miss for them. But as you say, they are playing very well, Spurs, this season. The one thing that gives us confidence is our record at White Hart Lane. You know, it's an incredible record. So we go there confident after last week. I'm not sure how Spurs are going to react, obviously, to the drubbing at the hands of Arsenal, but I think that was a bit of a one-off game. It was a derby game. You can't read too much into that. Some of the defending was terrible in the second half, and that's uncharacteristic of them this season. So, you know, it should be a great game. It always is a great game at White Hart Lane, but I think we can go there confident of extending that long unbeaten run there.
It's a shame that Valencia is injured. I mean, we've all seen his form in recent months. He's probably been the best winger, definitely in the Premier League, if not Europe, if not the world. And the game, Tottenham's game against Arsenal, I think we all saw Gareth Bale, even though everyone builds him up as this fantastic player, he had an absolute nightmare in defence. And especially with Asi Okoto down the left, Spurs are quite suspect to kind of attacking threats. So he could have been a great presence, but Ashley Young's in good form, so hopefully he can do well. And I'm actually quite confident. I'm not too sure about it because they're unbeaten at home, Tottenham, since the beginning of the season. But they tend to bottle it in kind of the big games with Arsenal and City recently and other kind of games. So hopefully we can go there and take 3 points and gather more momentum.
Yeah, we've got a great record against Spurs, as has been mentioned, Adam. But you look at the last five at White Hart Lane, 3 draws and 2 wins. 2 of those draws 0-0, which is a surprise when these two teams go at it. But a draw might not be good enough this weekend. We probably need all 3 points because City home to Bolton. We don't want them to extend the lead any further.
Well, that's right. I think we all know some City fans, don't we, unfortunately? And the ones I've been talking to, you know, they were really looking at this two-game spell of them playing Blackburn and Bolton at home and us travelling to Norwich, you know, high-flying Norwich, let's be honest, and Tottenham as an opportunity for them to create a gap or extend the gap, rather. So you're right, we really have to go there and win. But I think given our recent or our past results in London, the win at Arsenal and the manner in which we came back at Chelsea, I know we dropped points that day, but it felt like a win. I think, you know, we've really got the bit between our teeth now. And there's perhaps a sense that Tottenham, well, they all have to be careful not to let go of third place. Harry Redknapp has said, hasn't he, that he sort of doesn't think they can challenge the title now. So that automatically, for me, takes 5% off their game because, you know, if they're still going for the title, this is a massive, massive game. For me, not quite so big now. And I would think we're favourites.
Was Harry wrong saying that then?
It feels a bit early, doesn't it? You know, it's only March the 4th, of course, on Sunday when we meet. But I think he knows that he's got to have both Manchester clubs, you know, screwing up, really, to let Spurs back into it. So, of course, beating United would be a good start for them. But I think perhaps their priority will be now that just making sure they're in the Champions League.
Yeah, getting Champions League football.
Because I think, given the way they've played, as you said earlier, for them to not be in the Champions League next season would be a terrible way to finish the season.
Yeah, it'd be a real shame, that. Their biggest threats then, Mark, if... Obviously, Parker suspended. He's more of a disruptive player anyway. Van der Vaart, an injury doubt. So who would you watch out for?
I think it's the double axis. I think it's Luka Modric in the middle. And you've already mentioned him, Emmanuel Adebayor. Adebayor, he's kind of been passed around a little bit since he joined City. And people tend to paint him as his character, a disruptive character. But he's been a revelation at Spurs. And I think he's got the highest amount of assists in the Premier League this season.
Unbelievable in the last couple of games, wasn't it?
Every goal,
4 assists in one
every
game.
Every goal seems to come from him. So we've got to watch out for him. Lennon, he's got the pace, everyone knows about that. So I think Evra's going to have to be on top of his game. He sometimes suffers with pacey wingmen, so that could be an issue. But
he's had problems with Lennon in the past.
Yeah, but hopefully we'll be okay.
And Louis Saha, James, play against us, most probably perhaps from the bench. But on his day, he is a top striker.
He is still a top striker. He's a handful for any defence just because of his pace and his strength. You know, he was disappointed his career never quite hit the heights at United, because I always thought he was a quality striker, and he's proving that at Spurs now, as he did do at Everton.
Get through this, Adam, and the next few games look a little better for us. West Brom, Wolves, Fulham, Blackburn. which shows just how important it would be if we could come away from White Hart Lane with a win.
I spoke to the manager a week or two ago, and he said to me then that if we can survive, he used the word survive the Spurs match, then we've got a massive, massive chance of winning the league. So that remains true. I'd be cautious about those games coming up, as you've just mentioned there. Let's not forget that, you know, Wolves away was where we came unstuck last year on the road. West Brom were the only team to take a league point away from Old Trafford. And, of course, last time we played Blackburn, it all went horribly pear-shaped, didn't it? So I just hope we take the same, and I'm sure we will, take the same conviction and determination from the tougher games into those so-called straightforward fixtures. Just beware, and I'm sure the players don't need telling that. I think it's perhaps ourselves as fans, we should perhaps tell ourselves not to be complacent and not to think that the job's done if we get a win at Tottenham on Sunday, because it clearly isn't.
OK, then, let's get some predictions from you all. Adam, you can go first.
I think we'll repeat last Sunday's scoreline. I think Louis Saha might well put one past his old club, but I'll back us to win 2-1.
Mark?
I think the big games in the Premier League have kind of yielded a lot of goals this season, like ridiculous amounts of goals, so perhaps stick my neck out and say 4-3 United.
Oh, I love it. Absolutely love it. I'm going to the game, so if it's like that, with a last-minute winner, I will be delighted. James?
Tottenham haven't conceded many goals at all at home this season. I was really surprised. I think it's 10 they've conceded, and 5 of them are against City. So, you know, it suggests there's not going to be many goals, but I'm also going to go with a slightly high goals and 3-1.
3-1, OK. Mm. I don't know where to go now. I was going to go 1-0, but I want it to be a bit more exciting than that. So I will go for 3-2 to the Reds with one of the old guard, Giggs or Scholes, popping up with a late goal to win it for us. So bottom line is that we're all going for 3 points for United, which is fantastic. Right, that is all we have time for this week. My thanks to Adam Bostock, to Mark Frogger and to James Tuck. Thanks to you at home for listening as well. If you'd like to get in touch with us, please do so via the email red.voices@manunited.co.uk. Good luck to the Reds this weekend, and we will speak to you again soon. Bye-bye.